It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Time for you to expect something wonderful.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It's Mark Husson. Mark Husson's Astrology Hour coming to you live December 2nd, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. on the East Coast. How are you? Thank you so much for joining me on an early hour. It's kind of early. It's 9 o'clock where I am, so it's kind of like the perfect time. I hope you're doing well. I hope you had a lovely, lovely holiday, if indeed you're in the U.S. and celebrated it, or if you're somewhere else and celebrated it. And that it wasn't filled with a lot of commotion and hurt and things like that that so many people were afraid of. We have a beautiful Aquarius moon that's going to be changing today into Capricorn. In fact, it might be doing it as we speak. When is it? Oh, it is. It's not. It goes at 1 o'clock Pacific time today, but we're in the void of course time, which is interesting because I want to teach you about void of course moons or at least make you aware of them when they're happening. And so before we get started, let's get you all over to the room. If you want to come into the room, you go to, you just go to 12radio.com. And when you get there, hit, I'm doing it with you as I speak. And on the left hand side, hit the chat link. It says chat. And then you'll be brought over to the Facebook page. You don't have to talk. Just come look. You know, you might have to be invited. I mean, if it says, hey, we're going to, you know, do you want to ask permission to come in here? Just say yes. And we'll of course allow you to be here. And then you get to the room. Jay has put up the banner. Thank you, Jay. And then you'll see some comments. You click them, and then you say the most relevant, and then you change it to all. Thanks, Facebook, for making this so uncumbersome. And Erica's in the house. Erica, all the way from across the pond in the UK. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, she said. At 1-2, we are grateful for you. Love the new Sag moon. I love the Sag season. Erica, it's so good to hear you. I hope you're doing well. Erica is one of those beacons. She has a show on Thursday too. Tune in with Erica. And she's just, she has that sort of, you know, not all Brits are charming. She has the British charming. You know, all Americans are charming. But she has this sort of beautiful, elegant British charm, a good sense of humor, a heart that is gigantic. You can see it from across the pond. And we're just happy to have you here. Hi, Erica. Thank you so much. She is a part of the 1-2 Listen gang. You can call her directly and get a reading. And why wouldn't you? I mean, it's so lovely. Such a great service. I'm so proud of that service. I can't even begin to tell you. Lynn Goldberg's in the house. Hi, Lynn. Good morning and happy December. Who's making the coffee? I know. I imagine living in a giant house and you're there, Lynn, and you come down and you're like, where in the F is the coffee? I'm like, I know, girl, really? Hurtado, B. Hurtado, welcome. It's good to have you here. Hi, Peggy. Thanks for being here. Yogi and you are listening. Peggy has a show tomorrow. I believe it's at the exact same time tomorrow that this is. So tune into Peggy, Oh My Angel. She's also an extraordinary reader at 1-2 Listen. We talked together on CA's show a couple weeks ago. It was fabulous. Peggy is like, if you need down earth, if you want real, if you just like tells it like it is, you got Peggy. Thanks for being here, Peggy. Eva, thank you for being here. I hope you guys really did have a nice Thanksgiving. You know, I'm looking ahead and I read ahead. I see a lot of things. Hi, Maureen. I'm so glad you made it. Thank you. There's a few, knocking at the door that I think, if I missed you guys, I'm really sorry. So thank you. I am doing the all comments link, and you guys are pouring in, so I'm sorry. Suzanne, welcome. Quelly, thank you for being here. Maureen, thank you. Suzanne says, so happy to hear you live today. This Aquarian is having to do some adjusting to this energy and moon. I know, Suzanne, I know. We're going to talk about it. Truly, hi. Hi, Pamela. Happy holiday hangover, Mark and everyone. Yeah, I hope you guys did do well. Good morning, Laura. Thanks for being here. Happy December to you. Geraldine, thank you. Love back at you. So you guys, yeah, we live in interesting times. And, you know, that was a Chinese curse, right? I guess I hope that's accurate. But I heard that was an ancient curse that may you live in interesting times. Because on a deeper level, it is sort of saying there is an attempt at the world to pull our attention to it. And if you think of it as like, if you think of it like that, that there's an attempt on the part of another part of us, an ego-y part of us, that insists on that everything happens outside of us. Like, let's say it's a sabotage, because we all know, and we all probably think of it, that what happens on the inside matters, because everything starts there and it gets seen out. And whatever filters it goes through, it's what you're going to see, right? So if the world keeps being what it's doing and we have all these places to project ourselves onto it, we might eventually lose ourselves to the world around us and might forget that we have actually something else happening inside of us, right? And I think that's really an important concept. I don't want to get too heavy on you first thing in the morning. But because we're being inundated with voices, astrological voices that have a different story to tell, maybe not as positive, maybe not as hopeful, maybe more scary, because, you know, we like to ring the fierce dinner bell, right? And then we catch ourselves like we're not ringing that dinner bell, or, oh, I don't want to be the one ringing the dinner bell that says, be afraid, because bad things are coming. But it happens, and that's all we see. I see it every day. I see it on Facebook. When I just go to post, that's why I'm telling you guys, I post my dogs and my bread, and you haven't seen a lot of bread posts because it's not perfect yet, but my boys are, and I love posting them. And on my journey to post them, I see the pain and the hurt and the fear and the screaming and the running and the attacks. And I feel bad because I don't want my people there. I don't want you guys feeling any of that. My people, right? That's a Cancer thing. Well, it's also a Leo thing, my people, but I'm saying it as a my clan-ish thing. And I don't want you hurt. I don't want you scared. That's why I know Thanksgiving for a lot of you was probably better. I heard a lot of people say it was just better because people know better, don't light the fire. But It's easy to get wrapped into it. It's hard to get out of it. It's hard to sort of have somebody pull you back because we are so addicted. And it's an addiction that isn't like, oh, I like the excitement. It's not necessarily that. It's an addiction to think we're going to be safe, right? To do what we need to be, to do what we need to do to be safe. And it's a tough thing to pull back from. It's a tough thing to think that maybe that everything's happening within, and that all my and you know, some of my predispositions are getting projected out. It's like, whatever. I'm not here to psychoanalyze you or myself. I try. I am here to offer some assistance in how to interpret what's going on. So let's see if we can do this a little bit. I'm going to start with Mercury. You are in the heart of a Mercury retrograde. It happens three or four times a year. And everything in Mercury is where it's a feeling that for me, it's a lot easier to tap inward than out. Like every time I try to fix something out here, it stops me. Maybe it breaks, because when I stop for a minute, when I just pull a tarot card, I bought these little mini Crowley tarot deck. Oh my gosh, it's so cute. I got it from Etsy. And they're mini. I've been looking for mini little, because we use the Crowley deck. I know his name. I think the Snooty, and I shouldn't say that. It's Crowley, I think they say. But anyway, I've been corrected so many times. I stumble over my own process of it. So I bought this little tiny deck, and I pull one to see, like, whatever. What do I need to know? What's going on? You know, how am I going to do today? Blah 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 blah. And then I just see how right it is, or what. And I love that deck because to me it's astrological. It has a lot of astrological correspondences. It's called the Thoth Tarot, for those of you that never heard of it or have no idea what I'm talking about. Because the inside reflects the outside and the outside reflects the inside. So if you pull a tarot card, and how I interpret it is what's going to matter. Not like some universal truth. It's like how I'm projecting onto that card. I hold it. I use it as a source of guidance. And I feel this time period with Mercury retrograde is way more powerful to do fun things like that. It's way more powerful to look outside of my window as if it were a dream and whatever's happening out here as a reflection of what's happening on the inside. Because guess what? It is. So Mercury's kind of supporting us to just take a look. So if you got in a fight over Thanksgiving, pretend you had the dream about the fight. You had a dream. You were at a table. Your mean old uncle or aunt is started in with ideology that is different than yours, more painful than yours, more hurtful than yours, and you're dreaming this, right? And in the dream, when you wake up from the dream, if you took a moment and said, oh my God, a dream is aspects of me that are projected onto these images, let me see what this aspect, like, and then be the uncle for a minute in the dream. Why did you dream that? Why did he appear? Why did your aunt appear? Why did the grandmother appear? Why, whatever. Be the component. Take a minute. And if it's hard for you to do that, if it's terrifying for you to do that, I would suspect that that's probably true for you opening your mind up to maybe a different perspective, right? It's just, I don't want to look over there. I don't want to be that person, okay? But if you treat life like, why did that dog just cross the street in front of me in my dream, right? And you sort of brought it home. You started practicing doing that. Why did I pull that tarot card? Why? Blah, 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 blah. You start putting together little remembrances. Like, it's chipping away at this idea that you are in this world, but you aren't of this world. And I don't want to get all spiritual hooky pooky on you. But if it is a little more peaceful in the immediate of yourself where you are, why not visit that in for a minute? And if it's not more peaceful in there, why not? What do we need to do to shift that? And as Mercury is retrograde, and get this, on the 5th, today is the 2nd, on the 5th, Mercury meets up with the Sun for its inferior conjunction, they call it. What we call the Promethean cycle, but it stops with our insane focus on what went wrong, on the past, on cleaning things up, and it gives an opening to what's ahead. Now, you can still think about what's ahead today, right? You still can do that. I'm talking about Thursday, the 5th. But what we can't do is... what we can do is not do that. We cannot look. We can force ourselves to not just only care about the past, only care about an imagined future. So if you're in the flow of Mercury, what you're going to find is that this sort of like ability to go in is really easy. It's easier because that's kind of the flow. And then it expands by Thursday. We get an opening on Thursday. Simultaneously, as that opening occurs... Mars is slowing down to a crawl, and I really need to talk to you about Mars. A lot of you are getting a little nervous about Mars. Mars is in Leo. Trump's Mars is in Leo. Many of you have Mars in Leo. Many of you have Leo moons. Many of you have Leo risings. Many of you are Leo suns. And Mars is hovering around you at the early degrees. So if you're an early Leo, this really applies to you. If you're a Cancer, definitely applies to you. What is it that it's applying to? Mars, the planet of assertion, the planet that moves us forward, the planet of energy, the planet that gets us out in the world, is stopping. Way more important than a planet moving retrograde. It's the stopping that is insane. And what do I mean by stopping? I mean, we're passing it in such a way right now that it looks like it's not moving. And it is at its closest point to the Earth, okay? Mars is really close. Anytime it goes retrograde, it will go to a point where it's opposite the sun and close to the Earth. And what is Mars? Yes, it's anger. Everybody knows that. It's in Leo, okay? So everybody thinks they're right, okay? We all think we're right. We all think we got it down. Come on, admit it. Admit it. Even when you go, I don't know, I don't pick a side. That's you being right. Okay. It's okay. It's okay. I'm not, I mean, I'm just saying, if you didn't think you were right, you wouldn't be in the position you're in. It's okay to be okay. It's okay to be okay with where you're at. But it's slowing down and then it's going to stop and it freezes. It doesn't move. It stays at this freaking 3 degrees or whatever it is. I think it's 6 degrees of Leo for days and just cooks there. And if you think a Mercury station, a Mercury retrograde makes you a little wonky, a little confused, way do you feel what Mars slowing down does? And I'm not fear-mongering you, honestly. It just is one of those things where it's like, oh my gosh, the days seem the same. You know those things where it's like, is it Sunday? Me and John have a game we play that is like, what day does it feel like? And if we see if we both feel it's the same day, and I swear it's crazy how it works. It's crazy. So Mars is slowing down, but let's talk a little bit about what that means. Whenever you pick a side, whenever you assert an opinion, okay, period, it's 8 o'clock. I asserted an opinion. Everyone who believes it's not 8 o'clock, I've just separated myself from. Whenever you assert an opinion, you have immediately separated from what it is that you're connected with. That's Mars. And think about it. When you voice an opinion politically, you have separated yourself. I mean, I think it was Abe Lincoln that said, the minute you have an opinion, 50% of the world will hate you. The minute you state a side that you're on, the minute you state an opinion, and it's not about love or hate. It's about you asserted an I in you. You asserted something you believe. The problem is that sometimes we assert things we believe, and we don't understand that the truth of what we believe is actually a process of talking about it. So I might say, oh, I don't like that person. I hate that idea. But giving me room to talk about it clears it up. Maybe I change my mind at the end of it. But the assertion starts. Okay? And this has happened. I see it all around me. I see it all around me. Because I'm being trying to be so politically neutral, because I have a different understanding now. I really do. I have an understanding that I think supports me and that helps me love everybody a little better, like everybody a little better, I should say, because I'm horrible at the love thing. But I have noticed that the assertion of even the neutrality that I think I have is red flagging so many people in my life. Because the assertion immediately puts a stake in the ground. And we are, and it's in Leo, okay? It's a fixed fire sign. And so, boop, here's my territory. I'm neutral. And it's like, how can you be? Whatever, okay? Whatever it is that happens after that. But in the engagement, if somebody comes to me and says, I am completely this or the complete, it's like if I have it within me to hear it and to talk about it, there might be room for understanding. We are so sure during this cycle that there are good guys and bad guys and that we are on the one of those other sides, we are so sure that we don't want to hear it. And it's in that where you stake your Mars and you got to live with your results. And if that means continue to defend and continue to attack and continue to draw your lines, that's okay. That's you. That's your choice. That you can do that. May you live in interesting times was the curse. It wasn't a blessing. It was a curse. It was meant as a curse. Keep your attention out here. Draw your lines wherever you need to. Hate this person, love this person, hate, love, hate, love, hate, love, hate, love. And it's fine, because guess what the truth is? The truth is you just are doing your life. And whatever your conditions are that you're creating for yourself, you're creating. Change it if you want. Don't change it if you want. It's all that matters is, are you happy? Are you okay? Is every single thing about our happiness dependent so much on what's out here? If you were in a prison, it wouldn't be any different. You'd have to find some way to be okay inside, because out here ain't going to change. We're in a prison. Mars is slowing down. You have to live with your choice. You have to live with the line in the sand you're drawing. And you can do that. Everybody, it's so what? Everybody does. But my point is, as it stops, it might feel a little frustrating if you boxed yourself in. And if you're feeling a little frustrated, maybe you boxed yourself in. And you know, the unboxing isn't to be suddenly accepting of everyone else around you. It's not anything about, that's more of the same out here, out here, out here. It's taking a minute to come in and say, oh, how are you? So important to divide a part of ourselves up as a little kid, to see that inner child concept, to see that there's a part of us lonely, hurt, afraid, scared, and nobody's attending to that person. Or are they? You think if you had a child and you're out here fighting a battle, do you think they're with you? Is that what you're doing? Mars is about the fight, you guys. Mars in Leo. What do you think Mars in Leo is fighting for? Your pride? What you believe to be true? I mean, at some point we have to sort of shake the tree down a little bit. And it's going to go back into Cancer. What are we going to fight for then? Then we are fighting for family. Then we are fighting for the kids. Then we are fighting for that which we love. But if you did it in the immediate, if what's in front of you, not what you're told is going to happen to you, but what's really in front of you, you might be surprised how okay you really are. You might be surprised how much love is waiting for you inside your own home. Metaphorically and physically. So if you're white knuckling it through this time period, I am so sorry. I want to help you let go of that grip just a little. You know that feeling when your fists are so tight, your knuckles are white, they're just like, oh, and you finally let go, how it hurts? That feeling of, oh, 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 easy, easy, easy. Let my fingers go. I'm actually doing that while I'm talking to you. That feeling is the most amazing feeling in the world, because it's a kind of pain that reminds you that you've let go. Okay? A little bit. Just a little. Remind you that there are bills to pay, or there are things to take care of, or there are people to love on, or there are messages to send in your immediate environment that might soothe you and maybe perhaps the people around you, the animals around you, the things around you. A couple years ago, I remember being on the phone screaming politics, right? I'm there, I'm telling you. And I hung up the phone and my dogs were terrified. Terrified. Because I didn't give a crap what I was doing, what kind of crap I was taking in the room. And that really got me because I understood then, like, all I do is, like, is this okay for me just to throw up everywhere around me? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that there's, like, life forces around here that actually mean something or matter a little more. But no, I'm going to give these imaginary figures, and they are all imaginary. Every politician that you don't know personally or that you don't live with is basically a figment of your imagination because you have no idea anything about them except what you've made up or been told. So a figment of your imagination might be running your life. And you're just fine with it. And that's okay too. I'm just saying, as Mars slows down, the box that you're in, you want it to be kind of big. Because it's a little more comfortable. And it is slowing down, stopping, and eventually it's going to get to a point where it opposes Pluto, a planet of another planet of like truth, a planet that doesn't care what the truth is. It doesn't care. It's a laser. It pierces through any structure, shows you the insides of it, and Mars is going to be there three times, maybe five times. I have to look that up. But it's going to be there a lot. And Mars, we have to adjust to the fact that we have passed Mars in such a way it's going to be retrograde for a long time. It's like just accept it as another, like, it's like the year. Like, Mars is the year 2025. It's going to be here for a year. Mars is going to be retrograde for quite a long time. And then it goes forward and goes back over everything it just retrograded through. So what are we going to do? We're going to just hate on Mars and sort of like bitch and moan that Mars is retrograde and Mercury's retrograde, or make our home, make the box we call our home a little more comfortable. Because if you can't, if the thought of that makes you a little sick, then maybe you are really addicted to the fight. And that's Mars too. Makes you feel good. Makes you feel good that you told somebody off. Makes you feel good that you stood your ground. Makes you feel good that you spread all the truth that you think you have to everyone. And makes you feel really good. Maybe that's it. And that's fine. But that's the box you built. And we're being given the gift of astrology to maybe look at this a little differently. Maybe look, get a picture of what's going on and what the tendency is, where the current is. And Venus is also going to meet up with Pluto this week. And that is really going to be about truth. What really, really matters. Okay? What really matters to you. So a lot of the mea culpas, a lot of the self-righteous, like the indignation that you've been violated, you've been hurt, all that stuff you can have, it's okay. But the question for me will always be, is this adding to the quality of my life or diminishing the quality of my life? And the planets sort of tell a story. Now I'm going to check on you guys, see how we're doing. I don't want to get too heavy on you. I feel like it can get a little heavy, and I don't want it to, but we do have quite a few comments. Let's take a look and see how you guys are doing. Once again, if you're new to the show or if you haven't done this yet, you can go to 12radio.com, and you can click the chat word on the left-hand side and come over and see the posts and say hi to everybody, and you can see who I'm reading, what I'm doing, who I ignored, which is nobody ever on purpose. Hi, Gwen. Thank you. Happy Monday coffee. My natal Pluto is 9. Okay. See, Mars isn't going to be at 9 for a long, long time. Mars 4 Leo squares Taurus Sun at 11. Well, you're giving him pretty wide orbs, right? 4 and 11. That's okay. That's like 7 degrees, though. That's like a pretty wide orb. Just for your own sanity, I'd shorten that a little bit. I'd make it like, because you still have that to look forward to when it goes to 11. Now, a square, since you understand the language of astrology, means that there's going to be choices. And when they're in fixed signs, they're going to be very distinct and very clear. And you can do one and the other and one and the other, and you can alternate back and forth. And that's what I would suggest you do. Look at like, okay, it's time for me to be this. I'm going to do this. And then it's time for me to also now tend to this, which is my Taurus sun, which is take care of my comforts, take care of my needs. Mars and Leo, assert myself now. I got to do this and then come back on and come in. Hi, Judith. Good morning. Maya, thank you for being here. Charlene, happy foggy morning here, both outside. And also, I'm feeling so Pisces dreamy today. Love Monday mornings with Mark. Oh, thank you, Charlene. And everyone listening. She loves everyone listening. Jim Porter's in the house. Hi, Jim. Judy, thank you for being here. So many astrologers out there. I know. Everyone's an astrologer. And I don't even think of myself as an astrologer because these people, they dive in. I mean, and I've read so much, but I think mostly it's like when you get to that point, I remember Carol Channing. I don't know how I'm going to segue in this. I don't know why, but here it is. Carol Channing, when she did Hello Dolly for 9,000 times, right before she died, she was almost 100, right? Or she was 100. She said she got it. She understood it. She finally got who Dolly was. This person was in her soul. Like, she understood it. And I'm thinking, who cares who Dolly is? And she's like, because that's me in my little arrogance. But she was like, I got it. I finally got it. And I think what happens, you can kind of like the, see now the planets tell a story. And they sort of don't necessarily predict your fate. They tell you how the current is. But they're telling you the current of your current mind. Like, when you look at today's chart and at what it's doing to your chart kind of thing, it's a picture of your what's stirring inside of us. It's almost like your mind is creating the chart, not the chart creating your mind. It's like the chart's just a snapshot. What's going on? So it's not even, it's so good to know that you can now, you can see the current. Are you flowing with the current? Are you going against the current? It's okay either way, but they sort of give you a picture, like pulling a card. Let's see. Michelle's in the house. Hi, Michelle Penny. Thank you for being here. Jennifer Lakshmi's in the house. Hi, Jennifer. Jennifer has a great YouTube on astrology where she talks to you. I think it's weekly, right, Jennifer? It might be daily, but you should check it out. It's and she's also an amazing advisor at One Too, and she has messages are coming in. Sorry, Jennifer. Jennifer's an amazing advisor at One Too, really. And if you want someone to talk astrology with or to look at your chart, she's over at One Too. Listen, and we have sales going on all week long. Okay, we just sent out free minutes to people who have called us in the past and exchanged with us. So those are all available. All right, let's see here. Let me come back. Okay, thank you all. Okay, I'll hit refresh in a minute. I know the messages are still coming in, but we'll check them. We'll get them. So let's take a look now a little bit about, we talked about the assertion of Mars. I want you to understand that whenever you make a claim, whenever you assert yourself, you're basically doing Mars, and in that moment, you're separating yourself. Now, that's why Neptune is the opposite. Neptune is the mergy planet. Neptune is the one that's like the dreamy planet. It's the literal opposite of Mars. Mars is like, I am, you know, the ruler of Aries. I am. This is me. This is my opinion. Neptune is like, we're all one. I'm you. So guess what? When you're all mergy and all Neptune-y and all Pisces with somebody, what's the best way to separate? Have a fight. You ever notice that? Mars is the antidote. I've said this to you before. Mars is the antidote to Neptune. Mars is the antidote. Neptune is all mergy and connected, and I love you. Oh, you hurt yourself. I heard it too. Okay? I know I'm making it sound a little like, it's powerful. Don't underestimate Neptune. I may talk like I'm being all wimpy, but it is like Neptune is compassion that is like food for the soul. It's mana, okay? You can get stuck in your Neptune, though. You can fall in love with somebody you don't ever want. You know that, do y'all remember? Remember having a crush so bad? And then do you remember ever the crush being returned? Like you didn't want to leave each other. Okay? It's so fun. I remember it was like 5 minutes of my life when that happened. And you want to do everything together. You just want to be, I want to hear their voice. Remember that? It's like so much fun. We call it love, right? It's a form of love. It's romantic love. It's sexy love. You know, you want that person all over you. I love that stuff, right? And your first fight is like, get off of me. Get out of here. Ooh. Mars, the antidote to being all mushy. So if you ever notice that somebody's getting all angry with you, all right, maybe you've been a little glommy. Maybe the relationship itself has been a little glommy in the eyes of the person. Maybe they've just been a little too tied in. And the only way, Virgos do this really well, right? Virgos have a way of doing the thing about like, I need to be alone. And the way they do it, rather than saying that, because they'd never assert themselves in such a perfect way, they would say, they would start nitpicking. Okay, and the reason I'm picking on Virgos, because my mommy was a Virgo, right? So they start nitpicking. Oh my God, and it's insane. It doesn't stop. Because, right, they can sift grains of sand and sort of separate them according to shape and size. And now they're doing it to your life. Oh, my God. And what do you want to do? You want to leave. And what do they want you to do? They want you to leave. But nobody has to say it, right? Because all I'm doing is caring about you, but you're a mess. Oh, God. Okay. And everybody gets their alone time. Everybody gets to rejuvenate. That's an example. Scorpios would do a very similar thing, except Scorpios might get more water moody about it, not say anything, pull back, right? A Sag might suddenly get interested in something else and find your jealousy just appalling. It's all a setup. All of it. It's all a setup. So you can do what? You can assert your individuality. Okay? When somebody is like being all grumpy with you, they're asserting a message of Mars to you. You can move, and you know what the trip is, and you know what the tricky part is? We tend to go toward them. What's the matter? It cracks me up because I do that. Oh, I'm so bad. What's the matter? If you knew grumpy meant I'm trying to get some space, assert myself a little bit here so I can have some time alone, then you would probably go, okay. And you know what? It's magical when you get that. Do you know what a gift it is when you get that? Like the person is being a little nudgy, right? They're being a little like grumpy, a little crabby, a little whatever. And you get the message. I want to, they need some space. I get it. And it may happen to be when you didn't need some space. You wanted to be connected. And guess what? It's time for you to go get that book, open the computer, get online, do whatever, watch some TV. But it works. And all you needed was a little signal translation. How many times has somebody told you that? How many times has somebody been grumpy with you and you moved toward them? Conversely, there's somebody being grumpy who's saying, I want you to figure this out because I want you to talk to me, but they're pushing you away at the same time. So they're asserting themselves, but they're also using this energy that separates them. So they're sort of self-sabotaging. You can do whatever you want to do in that situation. You can just give it time. You can say, I can't figure this out, so I'm going to give you a little time. Assert when you want to talk, if you want to talk, whatever. So there's a lot we can do. This is all Marsy stuff, but it's important for you to remember Mars is pushing always away. Always. Even though Mars is saying, like, Mars is very seductive. It can be very seductive. You know, that red energy. Red energy can be anger, or it can be passion, or it can be that fine line. You know what I mean? And so you could have somebody being like, Marsy, like just on the edge, and you're not, you can't read it, but then come read your Mars. What is your Mars doing? And wherever you have Mars, wherever you have Mars, is how you're going to express that individuality. And it's like a weird one. I have Mars in Pisces. What am I going to express my individuality by merging with you? I might. It could look that way sometimes. And wouldn't you know, John's Mars is exactly opposite in Virgo. Wouldn't you know? And it's absolutely perfect. It could not be more perfect. And it's like, so his grumpy always overrides my grumpy, but now I get it. When he's grumpy, I'm actually projecting that I'm the one that wants some time alone. And I didn't know how to get it. Fun with Mars. It's slowing down. It's going to stop this week. You might feel some frustration. You might be a little more angry. Guess why? Because you're like feeling the box and you don't know how to get out of the box. So you're just angry. You're just angry. And then you're just more in your box. So the other side of Mars is not just anger. It can be being passionate about something. It can be wanting to master something passionately to have deeper understanding of it. Right? It's where you assert your focus. It doesn't have to be assert your body, right? You can have Mars like asserting anywhere. And hopefully it can be on information. When it's in Leo, you kind of want to master something. Like it is the Leos are the professionals. They, when a Leo learns something, oh my God, you ever know, do you know Leos who they actually become the professional? Mars and Leo can give us that. It's also the slow boil. And you want to be careful here because Mars in Leo has a slow boil, but that means it has a slow cool down too. If you've poked the bear with Mars in Leo affecting your chart in such a way, if you poked the bear, that bear may not be able to be put back down for a minute or two. And I mean a metaphoric minute or two. It can be pretty intense. So be careful about anger, really. Watch, you can control that. You can look at what you're saying and what you're doing. Okay, we have some comments in the room. Let me go say hi. And then we're going to go through the week ahead. We just had a new moon in Sag. I hope it inspired some of you. I really do. All right, you guys, let's take a look. Joni is in the house. Hi, Joni. Truly enjoying this. Straightforward, matter of fact. Do with it as you wish. And so it is. Thanks, Joni. I love your hugs. Well, Pamela says, you're making Mercury retrograde seem like a mischievous child in comparison. Right? I know. Well, it is. It really is. Mars retrogrades only happens once every 2 years. It's a big deal. Hi, Julie. Hi, Lori. Welcome. Lori has her show. Lori Love has her show on After Cat, who follows me. So stay tuned. Don't leave. Audra says, hey, Mark, good morning. My Mars is at 152 in Scorpio in the 8th. So when Mars goes back to that one point, it's going to be squaring your Mars. Check it out. I want you to please use this, Audra, to see if you have if a choice gets presented and sort of how you work that. Because it's going to hit, like, I think one, it's going to hit one. Then it's going to go into Cancer and then come back and hit so it's already hit once, twice, three times, at least three times. So a decision is being made on a deep, deep level. I hope you see that. Let's see if it's true. Let me know. Morning, Mark, says Julie and Jay, joining a little late, but happy to be here. Curious to learn more about the impacts of the Mars retrograde. Aries with Mars in Libra. Your Mars in Libra. Okay, so that's fascinating because it's going to, when it go, see, for a lot of you guys with Mars in a cardinal sign, and that would be Libra, Aries, Cancer, and Capricorn, you all are going to get this a little later when Mars goes backwards into Cancer, and I can tell you when that is. Hang on. It is, see, it's moving so slow right now. It, even though it's at 6, it's not going to go into Cancer until like the 5th of January. So the 5th of this month, Mercury meets up with the Sun and it sort of unlocks our brain a little bit. You'll see. That's the Thursday. Mars is going to enter on the 5th of January, the sign of Cancer, and then it's slowly going to go backwards. And it'll pick up momentum. And in the sign of Cancer, if you're a Libra, Aries, or Capricorn, or Cancer, then if you're a Libra, Aries, choices, choices, choices. You're going to be really coming to some closure on choices. And let's talk more about that as we get closer to the time. I want to see if it develops inside of you, because we have supporting cast of characters. Saturn is in Pisces, so it will be trining that Mars at some point. We'll have Neptune in Pisces. It'll be trining that Mars at some point. Mars trine Neptune. Oh, lovely aspect. Manifestation. Hope. So we're going to go through each of them. We just have to get through a couple weeks of Mars in Leo right here, right? Just, it's at 6 degrees right now. It's going to go back, but it's stopped. So it's got to sit at 6 for a few days. Oh, God. I hate the sitting. And it's like Mars, the planet of action, of assertion, is sitting. You get the metaphor, right? It could be frustrating. And you can make it worse by looking at it and going, what am I doing here? What are you doing? Like, ugh, stop. Y'all, stop. My dogs are looking at me like, what do we do? Okay, so you all get it. Okay, let's go. Let's see. Judith, Mark, do you think that this Mars station is a good time to reemphasize the new Sagittarian moon's intentions? I hope so. She says, yeah, absolutely. We had the new moon in Sag, which I hardly talked about, right? You guys, just happened Sunday, or late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. New moon, assert your dreams. And it was early. I think it was 18. It might have been 10. Whatever it was. But yeah, wherever it landed in your chart, the Saggy part, I think it was 18. I think it was later. And it's in the Power Peak. The Power Peak password at markhusson.com this week is change. So, you hopefully could do, and you can still do that, make your wish, make your hope, make your intention of hope and gratitude and love and searching and questing and learning in Sag. And Mars being in a fire sign and Chiron being in a fire sign and the North Node being in a fire sign will help add some energy, and the Sun being in a fire sign and Mercury being in a fire sign will help add some solidification to it. But that's all the fire we got. The Sun, the Moon temporarily, Mercury, and Mars. And Mars isn't going to be there forever. So you want to take advantage of it while you can. Jupiter is in Gemini opposing that moon, the ruler of Sag. This was a beautiful moon to wish on. Make your wish, bring your hope. But do you see where I'm taking your attention? What are you hoping for? What do you want? Not what, oh, the world's on fire, blah, blah, blah. World's always on fire. Stop. You guys are great. Okay, let's see. B says, my biggest lesson this season has been learning to be more patient. It's a big one, B. It is a big one. But you know what patience is? Patience is sort of removing your attention from the pot of water. Patience is learning how to bring your attention home. Like, okay, put a check in that, and then we'll come back. Like, I'm always so afraid. My OCD is, like, so afraid. I think it's ADHD, whatever initials I have. But I think you put a check in it, I'm afraid I'll forget to come back to it. Write it down. Or maybe if you're forgetting to come back to it, you don't need to come back to it. Jennifer says, Neptune, your interpretation of how Neptune talks is right on, Mark. Yay, Jennifer. Oh, I love your hugs. Yes, and Jennifer, post your YouTube channel. Spread the word, baby. It's all good. Gwen, why is the moon in Scorpio for Thanksgiving and Christmas? Well, because Scorpio is deep love. Scorpio is also deep love. It really is. We love deeply. You can forgive on a Scorpio moon. What other moon do you want to forgive under? If you forgive under a Scorpio moon, guess what? You are forgiven, because that moon don't forgive. If you want to go below the surface of something, bring that Scorpio moon with you. Because you guess what you find? You find truth. That is very, very, very possibly loving truth. Scorpio wants to see the truth. They don't want to live in that sort of crappy, okay, already, Scorpio. So yeah, Gwen, it's a good moon. And Lynn, you replied to that, right? Let me see. And it's not showing up for me, so if you did, I'm sorry if I overstepped you, but I know you, Lynn. I know you, your words are always good and smart. Judy, flowing upstream and back always. Neptune in Virgo in the 12th. Mars in the 1st. At 86, now I love observing wherever my mind goes. Knowing always this too shall pass. So much easier to realize that love is really all there is. Judy. thank you. That's so sweet. Judith, geez, so a Gemini Mars in the 12th. Oh my, I'm doing a strange dance with the spirits, I guess. 1-2-step dance. What the heck? 12-step dance. I got Mars in Gemini. Yes, let's see. In the 12th. Oh, I'm doing a strange dance with the spirits, I guess. Well, yeah, dance with them. Absolutely. And you're getting Jupiter support there too, Judith. Becky, I love you. You are brilliant and funny. Oh my gosh, I read that out loud. That's so, thank you. That's so sweet. I have an Aries sun, a Virgo moon. It makes so much sense to me. Thank you for your sharing. That touches me. Thank you, Becky. Chris, Diana, my Mars in Aries. Head butt first. Ask questions later. that's so sweet. Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing. Yeah. It is kind of head butt first, ask questions later. As long as you ask the questions, it's okay. It's very okay. Like, we get hot-headed. We do. You know, I have kicked people out of my house over politics. Literally. Not that long ago either. One person I kicked out died. Not because I kicked her out, but because she died. But I also... I can't undo that, right? What I can do, and I refuse to, you know, I live a thing of no regret, and I don't do that arrogantly. I do a thing where it's sad to me, some things I did and I chose to do. But I make a point to love on that part, because I know I would probably do it differently now. But that's what I did at the time, because that's what I knew at the time. We can peel back some layers, you guys. You can actually open your eyes just a little. And if somebody over here that you like is saying, look, it's not so bad in here, come on in. Maybe you do it. Okay? We grow. We're allowed to grow. And your growth can mean you lose some things. Maybe you lose people. Maybe you lose, I don't know, a perspective that you once held on to really tightly. I'll tell you, when I look at the unconscious agreements that lay in my family, just the very deep, deep, deep nonverbals, why we could never just talk because, you know, somebody can walk away. Somebody can, you know, take their love away from you when you're in the family, right? Because that's what you have the power to do. It's amazing. And I hope that we can do what Judy says at 86, that she's learned, you kind of land back that love is all there is. And that sounds really cliche-ish. It's like a Burt Bacharach song, you know, or whatever. And it's not that kind of love. It's not like if you also get that we don't know really what love is, it helps. Because what we do know, though, what we can maybe grasp is that there is a connection in us that does know what love is. So your brain doesn't have to understand it. But it can believe in it. It can look for evidence of it. Or it could look for evidence of why the world's shit and it's on fire and we're all going to die. You can look for evidence of that and find it, right? Energy goes where your focus flows. Energy flows where your focus goes. Whatever that phrase is, I kind of like it because we're kind of empowering things. So do me a favor. Give yourself a hug from me. And I mean it. And know that we're going to fight the good fight together. And that good fight is about being, remembering that we're okay. Okay? Just remembering that there's some other truth out here that we can hold on to. Okay? We help each other remember that. Get through this week. Thursday is the Mercury-Sun conjunction. We change our ability to obsess about the past. We look to the future a little easier, called the Promethean cycle. It's a metaphor. It's a fun one. It's just play with it. See if Thursday doesn't feel a little, because Mars is stopping, and you might feel a little wonky. You might feel a little frustrated. You might. And if you are feeling frustrated, remember, you're probably staring at the pot of water. Just remove your attention. Remove your attention. Maybe get into something a little fun. Like me, blow all your money at an online casino. I'm not doing that, but I am playing. It's fun for me, and I am very cautious. But whatever, I feel all the shame about it, so you'll hear me all with all the excuses after. But I do like it, and I remember my aunt once said to me, "What is all this astrology and gambling stuff? Is that your mother?" And it is. And I sort of said, yeah, it is. And I was sort of proud of it. So there. Look, you guys, you know, I love you. I appreciate you so much. I'm so grateful that you come and listen to the show and that you tell your friends and that you sign up for the mailing list at 12house.com and that you call the amazing people that support me and that support you and support the world at 12listen.com. They're truly, we hire nobody new. It's hard because we love these guys so much. And our standards are really high. Please give them a shout if you need support. I'll be here next week. I don't even know when we're taking a break at 1-2, but I can never take a break. I hate taking breaks from you guys. But we'll give it a whirl. We'll see what's happening, and I'll keep you posted, okay? In the meantime, God bless. You know I love you. Thanks so much. Have a beautiful week. Stay tuned for the amazing Kat Nicholson.